just study overnight and come and recite. It's just like, it's there and it's coming out one day, and after that it's not there anymore. It's not on top of our head. So that is the problem, just by starting on the last minute and then finish. There is nothing left. So that is, memory is very important. And Kali Yuga is very famous for memory, isn't it? Bhagavatam says, what is the Bhagavatam statement regarding memory? Manda sumanda mataya, manda bhagya. The statement is upadrata. The qualification is not very good. If we are always disturbed, it is very difficult to remember anything. One key point in remembering anything or analyzing anything or studying anything is mind has to be very peaceful. It's easy to remember anything when the mind is peaceful. If mind is not peaceful, it's very difficult. So we can see our natural condition in this Kali Yuga is to forget things. We can hardly remember anything. Especially if we read anything, we forget so many things. We have read so much from our books. After reading maybe few pages, we think what we have read so far. I can't remember anything. After listening to a lecture, people say it was a very wonderful lecture I listened to. Please tell me one point in the lecture, then can't remember. Just stuck, hit somewhere and just waiting. So we have really problem with our memory, especially in this age. And when we compare it to the ages before, where people could remember all the things, the Vedas, the verse after verse, and everything, we are really bad. Our situation is pathetic. So, but by practice, we can actually develop. It is possible to remember everything, as much as it is required for our personal need and for our preaching need. It is possible to remember. Even who doesn't have any habit of remembering verses or remembering philosophy or remembering different points from Bhagavad Gita, still they can remember. So just with practice and with association and with constant hearing, it is possible. Now, understanding is key, because if we have the book knowledge and if you don't have the real understanding, then that is not sufficient. So this is knowledge and understanding. We can go further. Application, okay. One is personal application. Personal application is practical application. Yeah. What is the significance of personal application?
You have the knowledge, you imply that knowledge.
Huh?
In practical daily life, you imply that knowledge, the basic knowledge.
Exactly. So, one purpose of Bhakti Shastri course is that whatever we learn, how can we apply in our day-to-day life? So, even while presenting Bhakti Shastri course, even in different sections, even in different lessons, it is actually classified according to the aim. That is where, okay, this section is one can actually practically apply. And some section could be more on a philosophical level or a theological level. But some and many things in Bhagavad Gita is practical application, direct practical applications are there for us in our day-to-day life. Regarding controlling our senses and mind, regarding what to eat. So many things, the modes of material nature. So many things are there which are in day-to-day life we can actually apply. And that is the essential point, one of the most essential points of Bhakti Shastri. That is understanding Shastra and applying in our life. Then of course, preaching is important because we are in a preaching mission. ISKCON's primary mission is preaching. One of the primary mission is preaching Krishna consciousness, giving Krishna consciousness to people. So if you want to preach something, first we have to practice. We have to understand, practice, and then preach. I can remember one interesting example of His Holiness Prahladananda Swami Maharaj. He, many times, this time in Mayapur also, when he gives a lecture, Bhagavatam, he checks everyone's memory. He tests. So in Mayapur this time, Maharaj was giving the lecture Bhagavatam, so a big crowd was there. You kind of remember, imagine this is the Gaur Purnima festival and hundreds and thousands of so many devotees are there. And he read the verse, he read the word to word, and he read the translation, and then he asked a question. So, this word, what does that mean? So, there was no response from anyone. So, Maharaj, okay, we'll try again. So, again he read, and then he asked. So, Yes, it does. So it is a very interesting way, because one can actually attentively listen and can remember something. So it's very nice. Okay. Does anyone know what is the meaning of theology? This side. Anyone knows what is the meaning of theology? We have written here theological application. Now theology. Dear people can sit there. Sit there. Don't know theology.
Relating to God.
Relating to God. That's a very, 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 very good answer. Exactly, it's a study of religion. That's the basic study of religion. So that is theology. So theological application is one of the aims of Bhakti-shastra. And we can see some concepts, and which are very prime concepts in Bhagavad Gita, which has all different kinds of applications. There's overlap. I was thinking about our prime philosophy, that is Achintya, Veda, Abheda, Tattva. Anyone heard about this Tattva? You have heard. Anyone heard? Few people, you have heard? It's okay. Just, have you heard about it? Okay, that's fine. So it is one of the prime, it is a very, very important concept, one of the important philosophy, that is our prime philosophy, what we are following, it's called Achintya, Bheda, Abheda, Tattva. I'm not going to explain it now. But if you look at that, if you think about the knowledge aspect, 9th chapter gives knowledge of it. It gives the verse actually describing Achintya, Bheda, Abheda, Tattva. Maya Tata Vidam Jagat Avyakta Murtina. So Krishna gives the verse actually nicely explaining what is Achintya, Bheda, Abheda, Tattva. So that is knowledge aspect. Then understanding. Then we have to understand it. How the energies and Krishna are the known difference. So that is the understanding. Simultaneous oneness and difference. So there is knowledge, there is understanding, there is personal application to it. Because if you see the energies of Krishna, and if you can relate energies of Krishna, like this microphone or this floor mat or this projector, and if you can connect it to the Supreme Lord, then we can apply it, we can actually use it in service of the Lord. So there is personal application. Of course, we are preaching this philosophy, so there is preaching application. And this is a prime philosophy what we have, so it has theological application as well. So if you see some concept, we can see, you know, it has all different things. It comes in every aspect. In knowledge, in understanding, in personal application, in preaching and theological application. Everywhere it comes. It's very important. Then these are the different things which are covering the values. Faith and conviction. Would you like to comment on why faith and conviction is important? You want to dispute it? What do you think? Faith and conviction. What do you understand? Faith and conviction. And why is it important in Bhakti Sadhana, as a devotee?
If you don't have faith, then you're not believing the sattva.
Yeah.
Then there is no faith and then you can't learn anything.
Okay, that's a good point. Without faith, we can't learn anything. So, that's a good point. Any other thing?
You need to have core belief in something to understand that thing in a real good way.
Hmm.
If you don't have core belief in that thing, you won't be able to comprehend what the thing wants to say.
Okay, so the faith is the essence of knowledge. Yeah, it's a good point. Without Shraddha, we can't get anything.
Faith is the starting point of everything. Like,
yeah.
We start off and we have faith in that.
Exactly. So when we see the ladder, for instance, of devotion, it is starting from Shraddha to Sadhusanga to Bhajana Kriya to Anurthana Ruti, like that. So the ladder, if you see, it is everything is starting from faith. If we don't have any faith, we can't basically perform devotion service in a proper way. Then how can learning of Shastra give us faith? What do you think? Say we are studying all this Bhagavad Gita, to devotion, etc. Then how can study of Shastra give us faith?
Because Shastra is eternal, and what they say have been proved over and over through many ages.
Hmm.
And like, so that's why it builds faith.
Okay, so that is actually, we are actually giving authority to Shastra. Okay, that's fine. So that can give us faith. That is the authority of Shastra can one can give us faith. But especially study of Shastra, how can it give us faith? Yes, Prabhu.
So it helps to clarify your thinking and your understanding of certain things, and then once you understand it better, then you are convinced that it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is, and therefore you are able to that feels faith, and then.
Okay. That is a very good answer. Why? Because by default we have so many questions and we have so many doubts. If you see Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has so many doubts for our benefit. But Arjuna has many doubts. And when he presents his doubts and when Krishna answers through Bhagavad Gita, then all these doubts are clarified and Arjuna is actually becoming steady in his Krishna consciousness. So we need to clarify all our doubts and we need to have a proper understanding, and with that one can come to the platform of faith. So without study it is difficult. Without study, what kind of faith we can get? Exactly, it is blind faith. Blind faith. So then it comes to, is there any question regarding faith and conviction? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, I thought so. I expected that question. Actually, I was looking in the dictionary to find. Then I realized that there is not so much of difference.
It comes before knowledge, and after getting the core knowledge, you get the conviction that that's true.
Yeah, that's a very good point to that. That is, faith is the beginning point, and one can that faith can be developed into proper conviction of certain things.
Is it true that faith can be changed?
Faith can be faith, yes.
Conviction. As far as the English word is concerned, conviction has more sense of intensity.
It
whereas faith can just be something that's a little bit wishy-washy. But conviction is something you believe very strongly.
Fully.
And you're willing to work at it.
Okay.
Whereas faith could be something you just sit around and I believe this.
Yeah.
Conviction is something that you actually drives you.
Yeah. Can you change the faith? Are people are changing their faith? Yes. We see all the time. People are changing their faith. So that is the, yeah, they can. Okay. Now, Shastric authority. What is the importance of authority of Shastra?
Learning from the higher source, like you are teaching us because you know the knowledge.
Okay, it is the knowledge is from the higher source. That's a good point. It's not my knowledge. It's not your knowledge. It is from the higher source. Good point. Anything else about the authority?
Right source. Yeah. It's a real knowledge.
Okay, it's a real knowledge and it's from the right source. Okay, that's a good point. Yes, Prabhu.
Develops humility.
Develops humility, yes. If we accept authority, if we have to accept authority, then what we need? Yes, to surrender what we need. Humility. Humility is a very, very key principle. Without humility, we can't surrender. Without humility, we can't accept an authority. So that is a very, very good point. We can't learn anything without being humble. Yes, Prabhu.
We're making use of someone's experience.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We don't have to experience everything. And primarily, the whole Krishna has the full fund of knowledge and he is giving it coming through the parapara, so we can see, and also we can see the experience of the great acharyas, we can see the experience of Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, we can see the experience of Srila Rupa Goswami, we can see the experience of Sanatana Goswami, so we can see the whole parampara in action when we see and when we read the Shastra and when we hear and study Shastra.
Good.
And regarding authority, there is one more very important point is that, that is how we should accept the authority. There is a mode in which we have to accept the authority. How? We discussed a little bit now. What is the one way of accepting the authority? Okay, one very good point. The submissive. We have to be submissive to the authority. So when we accept the authority of Shastra, we have to be submissive. As Prabhuji pointed out, the humility aspect is very important. And on the other side, what we shouldn't be? submissive is one side, and the other side is
we should have faith.
Aggressive, yeah. What is the other word for aggressive?
Challenging.
Exactly, challenging. We cannot approach in a challenging way. One can question, one can clear up one's doubts, but in a submissive mood, not in a challenging way. The Srila Prabhupada, we can see in some lectures, when after the lecture someone will be asking a question, which will be very challenging, non-submissive. So Prabhupada usually used to do two things. On one time, he will smash in such a way that he will become humble. And then he will correct also. He will say, this is not the way you should ask this. Prabhupada used to actually make them humble by his statement, by his answers. And apart from that, he used to directly give the instruction that this is not the right mood in which one can approach an authority. So we can see the nice examples of Srila Prabhupada. After the lectures, and even sometimes in the conversation, morning walk conversation, the conversation can become very intense and sometimes very fiery, because people are arguing for, you know, philosophers and those who have studied, you know, different shastra, they argue mayavad, this, that, you know, going on and on. So we can see how Srila Prabhupada, he was answering in such a way that he was actually making them humble, and at the same time he was clarifying their doubts and giving the right instruction that okay, the mood is not right. And the submissive way of accepting is there, and other way is accepting without really understanding. That is again putting blind faith. So that is also not the right approach. So these are two extremes. One is non-submissive, and one is, you know, just blind faith. These two things are not really good. So one has to come to the proper mood and asking and understanding. So that is part of the study, because Bhagavad Gita very clearly mentions how one should accept, one should go and approach the spiritual master, in what way you should ask a question, how to get the clarification. So things are very clearly mentioned. Kanabhiru, would you like to say? Okay. Is it clear regarding Shastric authority? Any questions? No? Then, evaluation. Evaluation. Any clue what it is?
Where we stand after the...
Yeah, after the 3-4 weeks was progress.
Okay, that is evaluating oneself. Okay, that is a good point. Evaluating oneself. Anything else? Yeah, we can differentiate different circumstances according to Shastra. That's a good point. Anything else? We can evaluate a personal situation according to Shastra. If we have to make a decision, for instance, a decision making, we have to evaluate the situation. And to evaluate the situation, we need knowledge. If we don't have knowledge, we cannot evaluate. And if we can't evaluate, we can't make a right decision. So the understanding of Shastra becomes very relevant. A simple example, if we understand what are the three modes of material nature, and if we understand, you know, what we should eat or what we shouldn't eat, or in which circumstances how the modes work, then we can actually arrange ourselves. We can arrange our routine of the day. Why we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the morning? Night is a good time. It is like, especially for students, general tendency of the students in the university, they study after, if they are studying, after what time? Yeah? After 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, is it right?
Yeah.
Exam means, study means late night. But are we doing the same thing in our Shastric study? What is our recommended method of study generally?
In
the morning. So we are actually, you know, if you take an issue, we are actually evaluating the situation based on Shastric knowledge given in Bhagavad Gita, and we are understanding, okay, this is best, and then we are applying it. So then we are evaluating and then applying, we are putting in our personal application. So before personal application, evaluation comes. But for evaluation, we need knowledge. So without understanding and knowledge, we can't evaluate. So this is another important aspect of Bhakti Shastri, because we are familiarizing nicely with Bhagavad Gita and other books, and we can apply it after evaluation. Any question regarding evaluation? Or any comment? Okay. Then we go to mood and mission. Okay. Mood. It's a very, very interesting thing, because one can have Srimad Bhagavatam, one can study Srimad Bhagavatam, one can preach Srimad Bhagavatam, but there is a special mood in which ISKCON is operating. There is a special mood in which Srila Prabhupada taught, in which Srila Prabhupada preached. So that mood we have to understand. That is very, very important. Can anyone think of something where this mood is important? Mood, where the mood plays. When we serve our spiritual master, the mood has to be right. Yes? Yeah, that's right. We have to, yes, exactly, that's right. The mood is very important when we are doing any service. Okay, good point.
When we are taking this knowledge.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Spiritual knowledge mood is important. But can you think about any key mood Srila Prabhupada had in relation to anything?
Preaching.
So what is that mood?
Compassion.
No, compassion is there. Compassion is a principle.
Yeah.
But how it actually came out?
Sense of urgency.
Okay, so sense of urgency. Okay, that's a very good point. Yeah, sense of urgency. Yes, that's nice. Sense of urgency. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Following instructions of Guru.
Following instructions of one's own Guru. Very important. Anything else? Any unique feature in this con?
School of separation.
Mood of separation. Very, very high point. Okay. On a practical sense. Practical sense. On a general sense.
Caring.
It is right. It's a good point. Yeah.
Caring.
Caring. Caring for devotees. Yes. That is just. Anything else?
Master and servant.
Master and servant. Yes. Prabhupada emphasized that. But specific to ISKCON. So master and servant, we can say even in other. Yeah. It is there. In many. Even Sri Vaishnavas that have that. But specifically to us. Huh? Yeah, giving Krishna to others is a good point. Say, regarding Srimad Bhagavatam, say, if we are preaching Srimad Bhagavatam, do we discuss Rasa Leela? Do we discuss, Jayadeva Goswami's intimate verses? No. So, Prabhupada had a clear mood in delivering transcendental knowledge. All knowledge is absolute. Everything is about Krishna. Everything is on the highest level. Still, Prabhupada had a real mood. Okay, where, what to give, what to preach. He knew. And he also wanted his followers to follow the same. We don't give, we don't describe in our Bhagavatam class the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, do we? No. No. Because that's not the mood. Why that mood is coming? Because Prabhupada understood what is the position of the devotees and the position of people in general. They can misunderstand and they can actually commit offenses. So Prabhupada didn't. Anything else? Any unique feature of Srila Prabhupada? Can anyone think of?
So would you say the mood was understanding the time, place and
circumstance? Yes. Yes. Understanding time, place and circumstance. And when it came to Bhagavatam, the implication was, Abhi-prasantam, it was not going to the intimate aspects, rather spoke according to what is required. Yeah.
So especially the mode of Srila Prabhupada was to give to others.
Yeah.
Right. So to spread, to give, to distribute.
Yeah, to distribute. The distribution was so important, because Prabhupada said it's a preaching mission. At the same time, he emphasized sadhana. Selfless
media.
Yeah, personalism. Prabhupada emphasized Prabhupada's mood to impersonalism. Very strong. Very, very strong. many lectures written about, you know, many purports in Bhagavad Gita, we can see Prabhupada is smashing impersonalism, smashing Mayavada very, very strongly. Even different acharyas, they had different moods regarding this. Some people fought, you know, very, very hard. Some people were a little relaxed. It's different mood. We cannot say one is right and one is wrong. So Srila Prabhupada had this mood, and we had to understand that. Okay. Then mission is obvious. We discussed so far what is the mission. It is very clear what is the preaching mission as such. And academic and moral integrity. What is that? A present Bhagavad Gita as it is, yeah. A very good point. What is the opposite of that?
Huh?
Yeah, I think one. Yeah, that is one aspect. As devotees, you know, we try to avoid, but still, what can happen?
Speculation,
very strong point. Especially if we don't know, you know, we can speculate without reference of shastra or authority. One point. Second, one can do, you know, selective quoting. You know, it's like, you know, people say, you know, among this, you know, among aquatics, I am sharp. So Krishna is sharp, you know. Doesn't make any sense. But one can do selective quoting. One can say, you know, karma, Krishna is glorifying karma in this verse. So the karma yoga is everything. One could say, but it is actually avoiding the conclusion. It doesn't show the academic integrity. Because academic integrity means the whole thing, when we are presenting the book, it has to give the right conclusions. We cannot just give bits and pieces and we cannot make our own conclusions. But the conclusion, it should come wholesome. The whole thing should come in. So that is academic integrity. And moral integrity? It is regarding our personal application. Moral integrity, how does it, you know, can you think of an example of moral integrity in terms of Shastra study? Yeah, okay. That is our principle. We can preach one principle and we don't have to follow that principle. Then it is not integrity. Preaching is one and following is something else. So that is exactly opposite of integrity. Okay, any questions regarding so far? Academic or moral integrity? And moral integrity is so important because purity is the force. We can give nice lectures, we can speak anything about Krishna, big, big words, but if we don't have purity, then there won't be any impact in the audience. We can say, for instance, we can make the same statement as Srila Prabhupada did. Okay, the same statement, exactly the same statement. So how much that statement has impact on a person's heart when we speak and when Srila Prabhupada spoke? Even many advanced devotees in ISKCON, when they speak the same lecture, the same point, the same example, but when they speak, it has a huge impact into the heart of different people. Whereas when we repeat the same thing, you know, maybe people are sleeping. There is no impact at all. Why? Because purity is the force. It's like, you know, if you are shooting an arrow, if there is force, it will pierce. It pierces in. If there is no force, then it cannot. Same thing. If there is purity, then people will go in. So we have to actually cultivate ourselves purity. And for that, moral integrity is, you know, is essential. If that is not there, then where is the purity? Okay, now it's coming to an interesting statement. What is that? Responsibility of learning. Okay. Responsibility for learning. Alright. What is that?
Rocking
up
our time.
Huh? Rocking up our time. Alright. Okay, a good point. It's a punctuality, right? What else?
Like, when we are already learning spiritual knowledge, our responsibility is to give to others also and take away from this material and this spiritual.
That is preaching, but learning, in terms of learning, learning is study.
Discipline.
Discipline in attending
classes.
And doing assignments.
Yeah. Going back and studying what you have learned.
Okay. So I'm hearing everything, so good point. Yeah, so if somebody doesn't have any experience in responsible learning so far, then it's a good opportunity to start. So it's very important to have a responsible learning learning procedure, that is, having a systematic way of studying, reading. Srila Prabhupada said, if somebody is not reading my books regularly, then he is bound to fall down. Even somebody is chanting Hare Krishna, still. This is about somebody who is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, 16 rounds, following the regularity principles, everything paka, still, if somebody is not studying Prabhupada's books frequently, regularly, then one is bound to fall down. Prabhupada has given that, you know, precaution, is that this warning. Okay. So it means we have to study. And especially when we are in a course, then we have to study in a systematic fashion, because the course runs in a systematic fashion. So to cope with that, one has to study systematically. That is very, very important. And we will see in every week, say today I will give what we have to read for the next week class. Next week we don't have a lesson. We will have next week, because many of you are going for the Japa retreat. So we will have a break next week. So we will be having in 2 weeks time from now. So I will give which are the verses from Bhagavad Gita and which are the what we have to read. So you have to actually read and come. And it, practically speaking, it is nothing. It is nothing. It takes hardly any time. Focus reading. Not just reading for the sake of reading. Okay, I can't lie in the class, so you know, I have read it. But I don't know what I have read. Not like that. Focus reading, that is what is required. So that is part of responsible learning. We had to remember one thing. If you are coming and sitting here, and you know, to get the full benefit, might as well, you know, put some more extra effort. That is, you know, go and read and study, so that we can get the full benefit. The other way, what is the point? It is, you know, it becomes quite useless. It is not useless, but it's not effective, especially for your personal application and for preaching application. Like if somebody has to give a lecture or somebody has to preach something, don't know what to speak. If you think about a topic, if somebody asks you to speak about something, don't know where it is in Bhagavad Gita, it is written. What do you think is a good position to be? Everything is there in Bhagavad Gita, but we don't know what is there in Bhagavad Gita. So if you want to find something, then, you know, we are stuck. It takes too much of time for, you know, preparing one class or even to speak something which is relevant for somebody, to help somebody, we can't. It's like if you want to monetarily help someone, we need some money. Is this correct? If a beggar will not go to another pauper, beggar will go to a king. Same way, in spiritually also, if you want to give some knowledge to somebody, then you need to know something. Because if we can't remember anything, and if we can't actually understand what we have actually gone through, then how will we apply practically? And if we can't remember anything, or if we can't remember many important points from Bhagavad Gita, then how can we apply in our practical life? So that's the reason responsible learning is very important. And the final one is Shastra Chakshus. Anyone know what is Shastra Chakshus?
Seeing
through the eyes of Shastra. So we are also seeing so many things now. But if we see through the eyes of Shastra, then it is a different experience. It's a different perspective. So Chakshu means the eyes. Shastra means scriptures. So it is the eyes of the scriptures. So that is Shastra Chakshu. So far, is there any questions or comments or clarifications? Yes, Prabhu.
When you were discussing moon and nations, can you just explain this word moon in one word or one sentence?
What exactly is moon? Okay. Moon. Moon means I'm not saying any dictionary, I don't know the dictionary definition of mood. If you try to understand mood, take this simple example. Giving the, you want an example, an understanding of that word? say, if you want to approach, for instance, a spiritual master, we can approach with a question in so many different ways. One can go with submissive mood, one can go with challenging mood, one can go with indifferent. It applies to services as well. Can you get the idea behind that? I'm not defining it, but can you get a feel of it? So that's my understanding of mood. If you give a lecture, for instance, it can be in different mood. One can speak out of compassion. One can show one's prowess, one's energy, yeah, I know this, I know the other things. Different moods. One can present a lecture. You know, it's like you can see if you are working in some company, sometimes a big boss is giving a presentation. He may be showing his power. He'll be showing, yeah, I am boss and you are my employee. He's showing, it's a different mood. Same thing can be given in different mood. And the impact is different. The mood of Srila Prabhupada, he was first preaching to who are the lowest of the mankind, according to Bhagavad Gita. If we take the Bhagavad Gita example, Nityananda Prabhu preached to Naradhamas, who were Jagai and Madai. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he preached to lowest of the mankind. That's what the comparison is given in Bhagavad Gita. So can you see the mood? How the compassion is manifesting in Nityananda Prabhu's case and in Prabhupada's case. Prabhupada didn't wait for any elite group, any hi-fi group to preach to. Only the most intelligent people who are on this level, okay, I will preach to them. Others, I won't preach to. He didn't think like that. In, you know, some of other disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sasar Thakur, they could only approach people from the high caliber. They tried to preach in England. Those who are in a high caliber, in a very high post in the government, big officials, you know, wearing coat and tie and suit and everything. But it didn't have any impact. He did, tried, but didn't have much impact. So that is the difference in mood. Okay, now. Okay, wait. Now we have. We have a role play. So everyone are, I know, very good actors here. So we don't have much of a problem. I may not be a very good actor, but you are all very good actors. So we can at least do something which is productive. So how many groups we have? Each table we can consider as one group. One. How many people are here all together? That's easy. Okay. We can have six groups easily. I have 7 dollars anyway. So maybe 5 people in a group. 6 groups. So some benches again. Alright, I'll cut the topics for you. So groups means should work together.